another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Upstairs Rumor.
To open the window for Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, Father.
Don't bother about the window.
And we always try to make our boarders comfortable.
I'm comfortable enough this way.
Let the window be, Enid.
All right.
Get the clean towels for Mr. Mitchell.
Yes, Father.
I wouldn't know what to do without her. Enid's been a great help to me since her mother passed on. You figure on staying how long, Mr. Mitchell?
Why?
I'm just asking.
Look, I came here because Ernie Foreman recommended your place, Turnley, and he said there'd be no questions asked.
Ernie didn't make a mistake there. Sorry.
Okay.
You can have your meals with me and my daughter downstairs, or she can bring them up here to you.
I'll have them up here.
You'll suit yourself. He told you the price?
Huh?
Ernie.
Oh, yeah. 100 a week.
Now, that's where Ernie did make a mistake. It's 150.
What?
And like Ernie said, no questions asked. And no questions answered, either. In case somebody should get nosy, like, say, the police.
Where do you come off jacking up the price?
Common business sense, Mr. Mitchell. The greater the risk, the higher the price.
What makes you think I'm any special kind of a risk?
I don't think anything. And I don't ask anything. All I know is you're looking for a nice, comfortable, safe spot to lay low. An extra 50 isn't going to break you, I don't think.
In early May of 1946, an armed bandit held up the Peoria, Illinois office of a loan and mortgage company and got away with $40,000. Under the provisions of the National Stolen Properties Act, the Bureau entered the case immediately. Agent Reynolds and I were assigned to the operation. And after interviewing the employees of the mortgage office, it was established that the thief was Frank Mitchell, alias Frank Morrison. Wanted circulars were distributed in a tri-state area. A man answering Mitchell's description was seen in Detroit 2 days following the robbery, and that was the last piece of concrete evidence we had to work on.
What'd he say, Enid?
Hmm?
Will you put that magazine down? I asked you what he said.
Who?
Mitchell, when you took his dinner up to him.
Didn't say anything.
Enid, I'm talking to you.
You asked me what Frank Mitchell said, and I told you he didn't say anything.
Put that magazine down.
Am I hurting anybody?
Put it down! What's the matter with you? Don't you ever get tired reading about New York and gawking at pictures of it?
No, I don't. As long as I'm not bothering
you. Oh, you're worse than a kid with comic books.
Well, don't you ever get tired of telling me that? Kid with a comic book lets you know.
I know there's nothing special about New York.
Sure, you've been there. You didn't spend your whole life here in Oakdale. It's easy for you to talk.
There's nothing wrong with Oakdale. It's a good place to live in.
Even a better place to die in. What I wouldn't give just to take a walk down Fifth Avenue.
Now, you don't have to give anything because you're not going.
Maybe I am one of these days.
Enid.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to see a few decent things before I'm too old to enjoy them. You think I'm going to spend the rest of my life cooped up here?
I think you're going to do just what I tell you.
I'm over 21 and too close to 31.
And you're old enough to know what I say is right.
Look, Pop, what would be so terrible if I went to New York just for a visit?
Enid, why don't you listen to me? I keep telling you, it wouldn't be good for you.
You're afraid. That's your trouble. You're afraid once I got out of this one-horse town, I'd never come back.
Enid.
You can't win every argument just by yelling Enid.
Enid! hey, look, instead of arguing, we should be thinking about our new rumor upstairs.
I'm going to bed. You think about him.
All right, I will. And I'll think about his $40,000, too.
What?
He's wanted for sticking up a loan company in Peoria.
He got away with $40,000? Well.
You know what I've been thinking, Enid?
That now you can get a lot more than 150 a week out of him.
Yeah, something even bigger than that. I was just thinking, maybe it's about time we got out of the rooming house business and sort of took life real easy.
And traveled?
Traveled? What for?
Yeah, what for?
I was thinking we could settle down right here in Oakdale to a nice, quiet, peaceful life of our own. Once Frank Mitchell goes and leaves us his $40,000.
After learning that Frank Mitchell had been seen last in Detroit, Agent Reynolds and I moved there to set up our base of operations and concentrate the search in that general area. In the meanwhile, in the city of Oakdale, less than 200 miles away, the wanted man had become the object of an entirely different sort of search.
So, Enid, while you got him downstairs here, I'll go through his room and look.
What makes you think I can get him out of his room?
For $40,000, you can do just about anything.
Another drink, Frank?
Thanks, but I think I'd better get back upstairs.
You don't like my company, hmm?
Sure I do, ain't it?
Well, then what's your hurry?
Your old man.
Pop, what about him?
He keeps a pretty close eye on you.
Oh, don't worry about him. He's gone to bed and he sleeps like a log.
Yeah?
Take an earthquake to wake him up.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Join me.
You know something, ain't it?
What?
This is turning out a lot better than I thought.
Hmm?
I mean, staying here. I figured it was going to be pretty dull stuff.
I'm glad you came, Frank.
Are you?
I like talking to you. I don't get much of a chance to talk to anybody but Pop. And he doesn't understand.
Understand what?
Oh, how I feel about this place, this town. Guess you've been around, huh?
Yeah, I've been around.
New York?
Sure. Who hasn't been there?
I haven't.
Well, all you have to do is get on a train or a plane and you're there.
All I ever do is read about it.
Well, reading it isn't the same as going.
I know.
I guess this isn't much of a town for a girl like you.
You're telling me.
Real sick of it, huh?
Up to here.
You're not small town stuff. I spotted that the first time I saw you.
You did, Frank?
Mm-hmm. You're strictly big city.
Like New York?
Sure, that's where you belong.
Don't ever tell that to Bob.
Oh, I'm not telling him anything. Maybe I can arrange it.
What?
Well, I won't be staying here forever. In a couple of weeks, I'll be moving on. I wasn't figuring on going to New York, but if that's where you want to go, well, maybe I can arrange it.
We continued the search in the Detroit area, but no positive results were forthcoming. Then on the fourth day, a new lead developed. An attendant at a gasoline station located on a main highway a few miles outside of the city had made positive identification of the wanted man. Agent Reynolds and I interviewed the attendant at his place of work.
And when I saw his picture on the poster, I phoned the FBI right away.
You're sure it's the same man?
Oh, absolutely. He was at Frank Mitchell, all right.
And he was here when?
Friday, around 10 o'clock. I was on night duty last week, and things are kind of slow around 10 at night, so I had plenty of chance to take notice of him.
But Mitchell wasn't driving the car, you said?
No, like I said, there was another guy behind the wheel. Of course, didn't mean anything to me then, but when I saw Mitchell's face on that poster of yours this afternoon, it hit me like a ton of bricks.
When they left, they headed south.
Yeah, well, seeing it's a divided highway, that's the only way they could go.
And the other man, the driver?
To tell you the truth, I didn't take any special notice of him.
Then you can't give us a very good description of him.
Huh?
The driver.
Oh, no. But it may be his real name.
What may be his real name?
The one on this credit voucher.
Ernest Foreman.
Yeah, he had a credit book, paid for the gas with it, signed his name to the slip. Well, you know how it works.
Yes, we know.
His address is printed on the slip, too. You can see.
Get it down, will you, Dave?
Yeah. Lucky we still have that voucher around. By tomorrow, it would have been on its way to the petroleum company.
Ernest Foreman.
Like I said, it might be his real name and address, and then again, it might not.
The name Ernest Foreman checked out all around, including with the local police authorities. Though never actually convicted, Foreman had been arrested on several occasions. His landlady told us that Foreman was out of town on business and was expected back the next day. Agent Reynolds and I waited for his return.
I covered every inch of his room. There wasn't a dollar of that holdup money in it.
Look, Pop, why don't you forget about it?
Forget about it? A chance like this comes along, ready-made, and you want me to forget about it?
All right, so don't forget about it.
You bet I won't. And since when are you so ready to give up?
If something doesn't work out, it just doesn't work out.
Well, this is going to work out. That money can't be too far away. He's got to have it someplace where he can get his hands on it quick.
If you want to know so bad, why don't you go upstairs and ask him?
I'm not. But you are tonight.
What?
You're going to act like you're trying to help him out. He likes you. He'll believe you. When you get through, he's going to tell you everything I want to know.
Oh, I suppose he does. You think he's just going to stand by and let us get away with it?
He'll have nothing to say about it.
You say he's won by the FBI.
So?
So, he'd rather go straight to them than let you get away with it.
He's not getting a chance to go to the FBI or anybody. Once we get our hands on that money, he's finished. The FBI wants him. All right, they'll find him. In a ditch someplace, dead.
As expected, Ernest Forman returned to his Detroit address the following afternoon. As he slipped the key into his apartment door, Agent Reynolds and I were on hand to greet him.
Ernest Forman?
Yes. What is it?
FBI.
FBI? Well, what's it about?
Suppose we talk about it inside.
Who did you say, gentlemen?
Frank Mitchell.
Frank Mitchell?
Of course, Forman, you never heard of him.
You took the words right out of my mouth, so help me.
Nothing's going to help you, Forman, but the truth.
Now, would I fool around with the FBI? I tell you, I'm giving it to you straight.
You never met Mitchell.
So help me.
And what was he doing with you in your car last Friday night?
Where did you get a story like that from?
The attendant who filled your gas tank at the Apex station on Highway 11.
Well, whoever he is, he's crazy.
There's a credit voucher signed by you to prove he isn't crazy at all.
Huh?
Well?
Well, come to think of it, I was out on Highway 11 last Friday. Yes, oh, now I remember. There was this hitchhiker, you see?
No, Forman, we don't see.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
It's going to be bad for me, huh?
It could be even worse if you're not cooperative.
Then I guess I got nothing to lose by talking.
He told us about his involvement with Frank Mitchell.
So help me, I had nothing to do with that stick-up. I didn't even know about it until the day before yesterday.
Eventually, he told us where we could find the wanted man.
Frank told me he was looking for a spot to lay low for a while. I was short of dough, so I made a deal with him. Drove him down to Pop Turnley's place in Oakdale.
Frank, I'm telling you this about Pop because you've been so nice to me and I wouldn't want it to happen to you.
Wouldn't want what to happen?
He's going to kill you.
What?
He's gone out for a while. Now's your chance to get away.
Now, wait a minute.
Frank, will you do as I tell you and get out of here?
You're going to tell me what this is all about.
Please, get out of here.
Ain't it?
All right. He knows you got the money from that holdup in Peoria. I found out he wasn't asleep last night when you and I were downstairs. He was in here looking for the money.
Well, he didn't find it.
Yes, I know. But he'll make you tell him where it is, and then he'll get rid of you. So will you leave, please?
All right, all right. But you're coming with me.
What?
You said you wanted to get to New York. Here's your chance. And it may be your last. Just get a coat on. We'll stop at the railroad station and pick up the money.
Railroad station?
I checked the suitcase there. The money's in it.
And you've got the claim check?
Sure, right here in my wallet. Why?
I'm why. Get your hands up, Mitchell. I'd just soon squeeze the trigger now as later. So get them up.
Seen it.
Blood's thicker than water. Or haven't you heard?
You set this all up, huh?
I set it up, but she sure carried out her part all right, didn't she?
Let's get this over with, Pop.
All right, neighbor's wallet. Get it.
Here's the claim check.
Now, you be a good girl and go down to the station and get that suitcase, then call me here and let me know just what's in it. And like I keep telling you, you can't always trust people.
Seen it, Pop.
Get the suitcase?
Uh-huh. And I just looked inside.
And?
Money's in it, all right.
That's my girl. Now, you get back here, and then we're going to take Mr. Mitchell for a nice drive in the country.
Okay, Pop.
Yes, miss?
How soon is the next train in New York?
Let's see, 20 minutes.
I want a ticket on it, please.
Yes, miss. To New York. Round trip?
No. One way only. I'm not coming back.
What's so funny? What you got to grin about?
You? The way you're sitting there on pins and needles waiting for your daughter to show up with the suitcase?
She'll be here, and then you'll be on your way.
It's been over 40 minutes since she called.
Who's asking you? Shut up.
How long can it take to get here from the station? 15 minutes? The outside?
I told you to shut up.
You know what I think, Tammy? I think Enid isn't going to show up at all.
She will. My girl will show up. Yeah, maybe she had a little trouble with the car.
She lied to me about everything but wanting to clear out of here. Get away from you.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You know I do. She wanted to get out of this town. She saw a chance and she...
Shut up, I told you! Shut up!
There's no use of you looking over there at the clock. She's not coming back.
Mitchell, I'm telling you! She's not coming back, huh? There she is now. You don't know my girl. Go on, open the door. Go ahead.
Stay right where you are, Mitchell.
What?
Put your hands up.
Who are you?
FBI.
FBI?
You're Bob Turnley?
Huh?
Yeah, he's Turnley, all right. He's got a gun. Too bad you didn't get a chance to use it. Huh, Bob?
Enid Turnley and the suitcase of money got only as far as Buffalo, where they were both taken into custody by agents of the Bureau. The Turnleys later were tried and convicted of knowingly harboring a criminal. When brought to trial, Frank Mitchell willingly entered a plea of guilty and asked the court for clemency. Because of his record of previous crimes, none was given him. And he is now serving a maximum sentence in a prison where only the guards show a casual interest in the upstairs rumor.
The characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is Gaylord Avery.